broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. This is Matt Sorensen, the star of the show. The star.
Oh, whoa, slow down. Man, Matt said, I'm bringing this in today. You didn't say you were going to do that.
Yeah, I've got supporting cast here. Mark Kohler, he is best supporting actor on the Refresh Your Wealth Show. He's also here today.
Oh, gosh, last week, Matt's not on the show. We cover for him, and then he comes back with this. Man, there's one week off and then now he's in control. Okay, fair enough. Keep going. Tell our listeners what we're, you know, what this show's about, Matt. Go ahead. It's your turn.
All right. Hey, well, this show is about saving taxes, protecting your assets, building wealth. Mark and I are both attorneys. Mark's a CPA. We're also both authors and hosts for your show. What we really try to do is keep it fun and light, but educational. We're really all about the small business owner, the entrepreneurs, those out there trying to live the American dream. So today's show is going to be hitting those topics. And as we do every week, you can, of course, find the show on iTunes under the Refresh Your Wealth podcast. And we also want you to check out refreshyourwealth.com. That's our site for the show. You can check out show info there. And also, most importantly, sign up for our newsletter, which announces new shows, as well as our articles and tax deadlines and tips that we're always giving through our newsletter.
All right. Well, okay. That went all right. I'll give you a B-plus for that little introduction.
That was B-plus. Hi, Gary.
There you go. Well, we want to welcome all of you. Thanks so much for listening in. We are passionate about this show, and it's fun. This is one time Matt and I look forward to each week to be together and be with you. So today's topic, man, this is a really going to be a fun show. I think many of you are going to like it. This is part of our Entrepreneur in the Trenches series, where we want to interview an entrepreneur, find out what they're doing, how they got started, what's making it successful for them right now. I don't know if we're going to choose entrepreneurs failing in the trenches. We're going to try to, you know, I like entrepreneurs that are getting some dirt out of the trench and making headway. But, so our special guest, we'll introduce them a little later. We're going to be talking about the surfing industry, which, you know, can't go wrong there. Yeah. You know,
catch the wave, guys. Catch the wave.
Ooh, that was nice.
Yeah. And of course, you know, your corporate board meetings, you know, for your surf company, they just get that much easier. I mean, man, every trip you go on, just take your surfboard and that's a tax deductible expense, right? Research and development.
Well, hey, slow down there, Kelly Slater. I don't know if you can, you know, we don't want to be advocating on this show that you can write off every trip because you got your surfboard with you. Now, for those not in the surf industry, Kelly Slater is the Michael Jordan, the Tiger Woods, the Bobby Fischer to chess. That's Kelly Slater surfing. So I just want, you know,
Nice. For the chess fans out there, they now understand who Kelly Slater is. Oh, like Bobby Fischer. Oh, I got it.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. You know, I'm reaching out to those on the intellectual side of our show. Oh, so you chess fans out there. So anyway, yeah, we're going to be throwing down some surf lingo here. So if you don't know who Kelly Slater is, you know, do your research. You know, he's the man, the myth, the legend of surfing. So anyway, yeah, we'll talk about what's tax deductible with surfing. But Matt and I truly have had some board meetings out on the water, sitting on our surfboards, talking biz, and those trips where you take notes and meet with your business partners, those are tax deductible as long as they're within reason and you don't overdo it. Yeah, love it, man.
Yeah. And, you know, even if you're not obviously in the surf industry, this is the lessons I think are universal, no matter what type of business you're in or industry. And we're excited to do this because I think it's insightful for other people. It can be inspiring as well. There's lots of lessons to be learned. And Mark and I will give our, you know, commentary along the way, but really interested to hear from the entrepreneurs in the trenches. Yep. But Now, before we get to that, though, we got some tax and legal tips, and I'm going to take a swing at a tax tip. I don't know.
That's bold of you. Okay, let's do it. A tax tip.
All right, here we go.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
You know, I have to say, the tax tip guitar riff is much better than the legal tip guitar riff. It's a little better.
Well, you got to sex up the tax topic.
That's true. It needs a little more help.
It needs a little more oomph, you know. So yeah.
There's a lot of like, you know, there's Law and Order and plenty of shows for the lawyers out there. The CPAs, I mean, they got, they had the accountant. You had the accountant. Yeah. But yeah, that's
all we got.
All right. Well, here's the tax tip. Now, we got April 15th coming up, as you guys all know. And I think you actually this year get until April. What do we get, 17th or 18th this year? 18th, sorry, April 18th yes. for 2017. Now that is for 2016. What I want to talk about, 2016 IRA contributions. So for those of you who save with an IRA for retirement, traditional and Roth IRA contributions are due by April 18th. There is no extension. Even if you extend your tax return, you do not get an extension on the traditional and Roth IRA contributions. So you got to be acting quickly, get those contributions in. Now, for those of you who say with a SEP IRA, you do actually get an extension as long as your company return gets extended that would be associated with those SEP IRA contributions. So you do get some extra time if you extend on SEP IRA contributions. But for those of you on regular traditional or Roth IRA contributions, you got to get it in gear. April 18th is your deadline for 2017 to get contributions in.
I like it. Matt, you did Ben Affleck proud there. You could have definitely co-starred in the movie The Accountant. So
yeah, maybe had I don't know. What do they call those? The extras. The extra. Maybe I could have been an extra.
Yeah, you could have been a body double. You know,
that's true, too.
I've seen you on a surfboard, so you could have maybe pulled that off. But let me add a little extra tip here, too. I had a call with a client yesterday regarding the backdoor Roth IRA. So some of you that are saying, well, I make too much money to do an IRA.
By the way, if you have any kids listening right now, you know, you might want to change the channel for a second here. There's a backdoor Roth IRA. Okay, keep going. Sorry, I just had to give a little, you know, parental advisory there.
Yeah, now my mom can't even listen to the show. You're embarrassing me here. Okay. So no, this is truly, if you can research this, people called backdoor Roth IRA. So what this is some of you, when Matt says, oh, you could do an IRA contribution April 18th, many of you just turn off. You go, well, I make too much money, or nah, I got $5,000 I could throw in it, but you know, I've just never really got into the IRA. Some of you may be thinking that, but what you can do is make a non-deductible contribution, because you make too much money, you don't get a write-off. Or some of you think, well, it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. But folks, the creme de la creme, the holy grail of this process is getting into the Roth IRA. So what you can do is make a contribution before April 18th as a typical standard IRA. You won't get the write-off for 2016. Who cares? And then 2 days later, you convert it to a Roth. Now you're getting tax-free growth and tax-free withdrawals 5 years later, or when you turn 59 and a half, whichever is longer. Now that's okay, folks. These are powerful time value money investments that will grow. Mm-hmm. So Matt, I just piggybacked your deal. I just piggybacked your tip with a backdoor Roth.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I do the backdoor Roth IRA myself for my spouse and I. And it's great even for people who max out your 401k. Let's say you have your own business, you have a solo K, or you know, you have your own company plan for your business. Even you work somewhere else, you're maxing out the 401k contributions. You can still do a backdoor Roth IRA. So it's a cool strategy. I've learned it from my clients, actually, oddly enough, in the spirit of, you know,
collaboration.
Yes, in the spirit of collaboration. And so it's a cool topic and a really good option. So love that little additional tidbit.
Yeah. All right. Well, and I'll say this too. I want to give a shout out to so many of our clients that listen to the show and many of you listeners that give us a little email or a little tip on social media, because we're all learning from each other. Mm-hmm. Matt and I have often said we're the real benefactors of our occupation and consultations, because between Matt and I, we'll meet with 1,000 to 2,000 clients throughout the year, and we're learning from you. And then we share it right here on the Refresh Your Wealth Show. Ba-da-ding. There you go. Okay. All right. Well, how about the legal tip? Can I throw down a legal tip?
Yeah. Let's hear that. Let's hear that weak sauce guitar riff for the legal tip, though.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Now, this is, some may argue, a touchy-feely legal tip, but I feel very, very powerful. And this could be emotional, and I'm not joking. This is very important. And I talked about this in our weekly message on the newsletter. Newsletter that comes out every Tuesday. It's free. Any of you that haven't opened it yet or got on the list, please do go to Refresh Your Wealth and sign up. There's no cost. There's no, give us your credit card. Just sign up. Free tip every Tuesday. We've been doing it for over 10 years. The weekly message was listen to your heart and your mind. Now, why I say that? Man, I just don't even know how to phrase this, except that when you're making legal decisions, working with a partner, analyzing a deal, going through a contract, folks, there's so much complexity sometimes and garbly goop. It really is a 1-2 punch to rely both on your heart and your mind. Now, let me give a reason why. You may feel good about something in your gut. You're like, oh, this is a good deal, but you don't understand what's going on. And that's not a good enough reason to do a deal. Just because it might feel good, if you don't understand what you're doing, you're the dumb money in the room. Don't be the dumb money at the table where you're doing an investment or a project, but just because it feels good or you like the people involved. Understand what you're getting into. So here's my first cautionary point. If it's an intellectual issue, take your time. There's no rush. There's nothing wrong asking your attorney or asking your CPA or asking a professional advisor or asking your friend or spouse or advisor or anybody, hey, what does this mean? What, explain this to me. And if someone goes, oh, you don't need to understand that, you say, no, I do need to understand this. When you're doing deals and you're analyzing projects and you're reading a contract, if you don't understand it, don't sign it. I think one of the best examples of this, sorry, and I don't mean to get on a tangent, but Matt and I have talked about this before. Arnold Schwarzenegger was known for this early in his career when he came to Muscle Beach in Venice, California. And of course, English was his second language. And he's lifting weights, and all of a sudden, movie producers started, found him, and they started throwing contracts at him, and he was starting to build his career. And I've got to hand this to Arnold. Some people feel, he's a dirtbag for what he did to Maria Shriver and all that. But the thing is here, early in his career, he read every contract, and he would stop the attorneys for hours on end. There's stories of this where he would go, I'm not signing this until I understand every freaking sentence. And with his Austrian language and learning English, he would slow down the discussions to the point that it was just laborious. But he didn't get ripped off in so many agreements because he took that time. And he used that strategy for years and years. Even when he was governor of California, he was known for taking his time before ever signing anything. And many of our clients, Matt, that we meet with, is that not a common problem? How many times have you met with client the last month, right?
Oh, yeah. It happens way too often. And they come after the fact that something's going wrong with the deal or investment or business, and they don't even know what's in the contract still, They still haven't gone back to read the contract to say what happens when you're in the situation and no one's getting paid back, Yeah, really, really important. I like where you're going here. Now, okay. You got to go to the heart, too. I mean, you got the mind.
That's right. I got to hit the heart. So here's the heart part. Sometimes you can understand things, and that's not the problem. You got it down. You understand the contract. But something in your gut says, this doesn't feel right. maybe it's the deal, maybe it's the person, the partner, the company. Something in your gut says, I don't know. Folks, trust your gut. If you don't feel good about a deal, get out. That's okay. And in both of these situations, whether you don't understand something, take the time. It doesn't, if you don't understand something, I'm not saying get out. I'm saying take time. But if something in your gut doesn't feel right, get out. Because I will make you a promise. There will be another deal next week, next month, 6 months from now, there'll be another deal. Don't rush into decisions with your hard-earned investments and money. If it doesn't feel right, get out. And Matt, here's the interesting thing I've noticed, that time is not the cure for not feeling something about your feeling good about something in your gut. If you don't understand something, take time.
Right.
But if it doesn't feel good, guess what, folks? It's not going to feel good tomorrow either. It's not going to feel good 3 days from now. If you take your time, that's code for rationalization. Because you're going to go, you're going to be like, well, maybe I'll feel good about this next week. And then all of a sudden, a week later, you're like, okay, I can live with it. Well, all you did was find some reason to rationalize away that little inner voice, that little, voice inside of you that was saying, that's not a good deal. So people trust it. It's a real technique. It's a real strategy that can help you and help you succeed. Matt, your thoughts on that?
Man, you didn't expect that from your lawyers, did you guys? I love that. Well, I mean, those are great kind of decision-making metrics, and trying to keep those two things consistent. I think, unfortunately, I see more common people who kind of their heart is into it, as you described, but they don't understand what's going on. And that's where someone can get taken advantage. They get sold on a concept, a business idea, or a deal, or whatever it may be. But they don't understand it, and they end up getting taken advantage of in the deal, or they don't have a way to protect themselves in it. So take the time. And I liked what you said too, seek out professionals. Also find other people, other business owners, entrepreneurs, investors. It doesn't always have to be someone you're paying by the hour to get advice, but seek second opinions from other people that have kind of been down the road you're going.
Yeah, and to throw in one more tip on this, and then we'll get to our topic of the day and our entrepreneur in the trenches is build that board of advisors. We've talked about that before on this show so many times. Get that group of 3 to 5 people that believe in you, and they'll give you tough answers. And it may not be family, right? Mm-hmm. You may not need that, that family that doesn't believe in what you're trying to do, that family member, but it may be a good friend, or it could be your significant other. It could be a parent. It just could be an advisor down the street that really believes in what you're doing. Get 3 to 5 people on your board of advisors. It's a great tax write-off. Go out and have that board meeting once a quarter and tell them what your plans are. And when you have a deal coming down the pipe, just say, hey, I'm buying everybody dinner. No one will turn down a free dinner and listen to what you're doing.
Depends on where.
Yeah, it's true. Taco Bell may not cut it. You might have to throw down. But that's what those people are for. They should be a sounding board for you.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Great tip. Now I'm really excited for this entrepreneur in the trenches. And I think this is going to be very valuable for everyone. I'm looking forward to learning something. Many of you may not realize this. I mean, Mark and I consider ourselves business owners, entrepreneurs. We're out there building a business, whether it's as authors and doing events and selling our books and our law firm we've been building over the last decade. We're out there. We got other companies and real estate ventures. And so we're out there. We feel like we're in the trenches with many of our listeners. We're kindred spirits. And so I'm pretty geeked up for this new concept. We got Entrepreneur in the Trenches.
All right. Well, it's my honor to introduce our guest today. And this is truly an honor. This guy, I look up to him in so many different ways. This is Matt Parker from Album Surf, an album agency, with us. And I've got to introduce you further. But first, I want to say, Matt, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, guys. Good to be here.
Now, at this transitionary point in the show, Matt Sorensen, you've just been demoted to Sorensen. Is that right?
Yeah, that's... that's what my closest friends call me, so that's good.
Okay. Sorensen, Saucer, Saucy, Saucy Sorensen. Okay, well, thank you for taking that for the team, Matt, so that we Matt Sorensen, so we can keep this straight. But the other day, we actually had a guy on the show named Mark as well, so it was definitely convoluted. But Matt Parker, man, just an all-around great guy, family guy, integrity. But you know what? Why we got him on the show is he is a serial entrepreneur. He's been running a marketing company with a partner album agency for years. But it, most recently, in the last few years, Album Surf has started to transcend his day job, if you will, as an entrepreneur. But this other business just started to take off. And we'll hear more about maybe the description of the business in its entirety. But what I know him for is he manufactures surfboards, and he's just a total stud, good-looking guy, lives in Orange County, California. He just basically lives the lifestyle Matt Sorensen and I would like to live, but we don't get to.
So I'll make sure and rub it in. I'll rub it in. Good.
That's what we need. Yeah, rub it in. Just, you know, we're sitting here, you know, in a sound booth just scraping away. And I asked Matt how his day was going earlier, and he said, oh, I took my boys surfing at spring break. And many of you, if you're dreaming of that, you know, dream business location, his office is within one block of walking distance on the Pacific Coast Highway of the beach. And he's a hard worker. There's no doubt about that. But of course, he's found that balance, and we're very envious. So we hope to hear about Matt Parker's business today and hear about how it really happened for him and how exciting it is, again, to be in the trenches as an entrepreneur and what that means, the ups and downs. And we've asked him to give us a few takeaways. So, Matt, thank you again for coming on the show. Tell us about first Album Surf. You know, maybe not the marketing agency, but focus on this biggest venture now in your life, Album Surf. What's it about? What are you doing?
Yeah, so we make surfboards. We really specialize in customizing surf craft for all different kinds of people. And we make them, and we make them beautiful and make them function really well. And then we send them all over the world. And I've been doing it for a while. I've been making surfboards. And for a long time, it was just a hobby business on the side that we kind of did as our little fun brand extension to play around with. And then over the last probably 5 or 6 years, it's really come to the forefront, and it's taken a majority of my attention now. And so I really enjoy it. So
at what point, Matt, did you decide, all right, this isn't just a hobby, I'm going to put some effort into it and make it a business? I mean, what made you decide to really try and make money at it and not just have it be a hobby?
I think I got to the point where trying to keep up with the demand and people reaching out to me, I realized just kind of looking at my schedule on a week-to-week basis that the ledger or the balance was shifting to where much more of my time was being required on the surf side. And I could see the quick tangible growth there. And it was also just really fun. I grew up in Southern California, and I grew up surfing, and I've loved it my whole life. And so it was really rewarding to kind of feel that, demand or the excitement around it, the buzz around it, was just this tangible feeling. And so we just kind of started shifting our attention into focusing on that.
Now, wasn't that at the same point where you said, let's sponsor Mark Kohler, and then the business just started?
Was that... That's really what happened. I went surfing with Mark one morning, and I was wow, I have never seen surfing like this before.
That's true.
Yeah, wow was probably the key word. On a fun note, while we're on this topic, it is definitely a wonderful sport, hobby sport, that a lot of us can relate to, at least the visual, if you haven't been in the water. But Matt Sorensen, you've actually surfed on an album board, right?
I know.
I think we figured that out today.
Yeah. Mark Kohler's the proud owner of some Album Surf boards. And, you know, we actually had a little photo shoot we did. You know, we were trying to look cool out on surfboards. And I can get up on a surfboard. It just takes a little more effort than others. So I had a Mark Kohler pushing me into the waves so I could get up and get a picture, because the guy sitting on the shore was like, can you hurry it up already? So I'm like, Kohler, hurry and hide behind the waves so you're not in the shot. shouldn't have
admitted really
that.
That's really our tagline. You know, our surfboards can make even lawyers and accountants look cool and look like they can surf.
There you go. Well, that's going to sell a lot of surfboards,
even,
man.
And usually on those taglines, it's underlined and in capitals, even a lawyer or accountant. But no, now this is, we've heard this many times before, and we've told clients, start that business on the side. Don't quit your day job. And then there's a point where it's too expensive to go to work per se. So not only were you seeing the demand, was it a financial issue thing too, where you started to say, hey, I'm making more money doing this. And there's a point where the dollars and cents made a difference too.
Yeah, definitely. I think we got to a point where you're leaving money on the table if you're not reacting to what the consumers are asking for and just responding to that. And then also you see the potential that exists if you say to yourself, like, wow, what would happen if we really put some harness this and focused our energies on this thing that has all this buzz and excitement around it? And what's really possible with it? And so let's give it a go and see what happens.
So now, in addition to surfboards and selling surfboards, I mean, I assume you're selling other product. I mean, you can't buy a surfboard. Mm-hmm. Every kid, you know, in the Midwest wants still like a cool surf brand t-shirt. I mean, are you selling other product in addition to surfboards that kind of go with the brand?
Yeah, we do. We have an apparel line as well, and that's been a great success the last couple of years. And that's probably in the long run will be where we have more potential for growth. There's only to build the kind of boards that we do and make them look the way that they look, they require a lot of time and attention. And so, you know, there's probably a cap on how many of those we want to do and to kind of maintain and keep that consistency and keep the brand looking the way that it does. But the apparel side has a great, open-ended possibility to it. And so we're focusing a lot of our time and effort on that. And the response has been really good to that as well.
Well, and I want to talk more about the quote unquote brand and how you build a brand. But even before there, back maybe in that, when you were in your infancy or just kind of toying with this in your garage, literally, did you find this a time that you could also experiment and do test marketing and get client or customer response and use that as a tool to improve your trade, if you will? What would you say to the normal entrepreneur in that situation as well?
Yeah, luckily, because we had our core business of our branding agency or our design agency, that kind of our day job that I was going to every day, that really helped to facilitate some flexibility in developing a new business. And so when we started building more of the surfboards and starting to promote it a little bit more, we could do that without the fear of failure, because we didn't have any revenue goals we had to meet each month. It was kind of more of a branding or a creative exercise. Sometimes it also allowed us to experiment with different construction methods or different styles of surfboards that we could build and see what took hold and what worked and what was functional. And we could do that because we kind of had the underlying design agency business that was trucking along and keeping things moving. And so that really allowed the surf brand to grow a little bit more organically, where it wasn't forced. And so we could kind of let the brand take hold a little bit over time, and people were familiar with it. We already had longtime customers before the brand was really out there in the forefront on a promoted consumer basis.
Mm-hmm. Now you have a pretty good social media following for the brand. How do you use that, and what channels do you find are most effective, you know, the different social media options and in marketing that way?
Yeah, that's been Instagram and a little bit of Facebook. Primarily Instagram has probably been our primary source of marketing and promoting what we do. It's a great platform. It's a visual platform, obviously. And so that relates really well to taking a pretty picture of a cool looking surfboard or a little video about a surfboard and putting it out there for people to see and share.
Matt, that social media presence is huge. And I just want to say we feel it as well. A lot of people say share the stoke when they see our tax and legal tips. They definitely feel it. We get a lot of surfers. So no, all joking aside, what I thought was also powerful. And I know your story a little more because we've been able to associate each other with each other socially. But you made the jump from kind of building your brand on social media and building surfboards in a garage or, you know, kind of on the side per se. But then you made the jump to a physical location. Can you speak to that a little bit, like where some of our clients and listeners may be building that brand or building that product and don't know when to make that leap to a physical location? Was that a big decision? Was it scary? What was that like for you?
I don't think it wasn't that scary because it felt like it was needed, you know, so on two ends of it. So both on our production side. So yeah, way back when I would shave or paint surfboards at my house or in my backyard or my garage or something like that. And I would stash them in the lobby of our office for our design agency, and there'd be boards stacked all over the place. But eventually it just got to a point where that just was a pain. It was a pain in the butt to have to deal with that. So I just through networking and working with other avenues out there, found a facility that I could kind of use a little bit of space to shape boards and to start building some boards without really a lot of overhead, because the overhead was being taken by the glassing company or other surfboard production that was happening in that facility. And then eventually over time, as our orders grew and our production has grown, we probably utilize about 80% of the production space in that glassing facility now. And then go ahead.
No, I just want to interject this because Sorensen, before, I know you had a comment too, but mm-hmm. Matt, I want to say that another way, because I think it's very perceptive what you're saying, is that you found a dual purpose to a physical location. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people maybe need location for inventory, production, mm-hmm. and why not spend a little bit more to have a frontage that you could slap a sign on and let people walk in. And so I think that's something I'm hearing you say, is that you were able to spread that cost out over different, for different purposes. Would you say that as well?
Somewhat. So our production side, where we actually building surfboards is really messy, lots of dust, lots of resin and chemicals all over the place. And so it's tough to do that in a place that you're utilizing as a storefront. And so our production facility has been offsite. It's about 20 minutes away from our showroom. But about 2 years ago, we basically were stashing surfboards in our design studio offices. They were in the front lobby and they were back behind people's desks, and we were just out of space. And we would have people coming to come pick up surfboards. We were trying to ship surfboards, and they'd show up to our, and you know, we'd have a designer work, open the door and a little bit confused. And so we found a space now about 2 years ago that we have a showroom on the ground floor for the Surf brand, and some offices downstairs, and then upstairs, our design agency, our other business, runs standalone by itself upstairs, and so it's one whole building, and so we utilize it for a lot of different things. We utilize it for events and for customers coming to see our brand and experience the brand, and then we also run the business side of it, mm-hmm. and a little bit behind the scenes too. So
now you guys also have you're selling online as well, albumsurf.com, really mm-hmm. great site too, by the way. As you can tell, I got a design background. it looks a little better than a lawyer and accountant's website, let's be honest. So how did the online site work, and do you have more business online than versus kind of your local contacts and your kind of local retail? Are you shipping all over the place? Tell us about, you know, launching the site and how you do on the website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we probably do 80% of our business is online.
Wow.
85% of our business is online mm-hmm. nowadays, where we ship boards all over the place, all over the world. And so that's been really effective for us. It's nice that we had a background in branding and design to help build our site, to make it function the way that we needed to. But also, we're a small business, and so you have to be really you got to find tools and avenues to get it up and live and make it look good. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't have a development company building it all out and coding everything for you. And nowadays there's so many great tools that integrate with like a point of sale system. So we use a software that kind of helped us build the site and integrated with our back-end inventory and also a point of sale in our storefront, and it's all integrated, and it was really kind of plug and play and seamless. And so there's lots of tools like that out there that really streamline the process to get you up and going, and you don't have to take 6 months to develop it necessarily.
Well, what are some of those tools? I think a lot of business owners, you know, they may be selling a product, or they may be a kind of a local store, and they're trying to get their stuff online. I mean, what advice do you have for working with a web designer or a development company, or doing it yourself, or maybe even rallying off some of the resources you use that you found very helpful?
Well, having the strategy figured out internally is most important. That's not something you can outsource to anybody else. And so figuring out what you need it to do and what you want your customers to do when they come to your site, and understanding that user experience, you have to figure that out, because you're the one that knows your business better than anybody else, and you know what, you know, what products you want them to find and how you want them to find it.
Yeah.
And then it's a matter of finding the right tool or the right, you know, it could be just getting a template website and getting something up and live that fits that, the mold of that strategy that you have, or it could be really sitting down, finding a really good freelance designer or developer that is flexible and can work with you, you know, to customize something and build something for you that works. Or it could be hiring an agency if you have the budget and you have a long-term vision of something bigger that you need to execute on. So
Now let's get back to the brand for a minute too, and the branding. And I love that you're giving some concrete tips here. What would you tell a new entrepreneur or a seasoned entrepreneur trying to build a brand? It's, a lot of people can make a very successful business without a brand, but if a branding concept is important, what are some tips that you would give to someone that they should start thinking about right out of the gate so that they don't screw it up later on, and maybe something they wouldn't foresee?
Well, I always say that a brand is bigger than just your logo or the homepage of your website, or, you know, some of the simple visual things you see. That's all part of it. But I think if you focus a little bit too much on the minutia, you miss the brand is really the experience that somebody has. It's the perceptions that somebody has about your company or your products, and how you your customer service, and that the experience of buying it and or wearing something or using something. That's all part of the brand experience. And so thinking about that in the big picture, and thinking about really engineering all aspects of that brand is so key. And so I think a lot of times businesses will focus on, okay, our product works, we got our product, like, why isn't everybody buying it, you know? And really, you got to think about, that's just one part of the picture. So that experience that they have going to your website, and how you message and how you talk about your product and how you communicate with them, and is that in line with the message that you're trying to put out there, and the feel and the vibe that they're supposed to be getting from you as a business and from a brand? So thinking about that from A to Z, you know, not that that should be overwhelming, but really just, I guess it's placing the importance on it that it really has, because I think it's everything. So
now you mentioned moving into the apparel market, or doing more of that long term and seeing more revenue growth from there. I mean, what, and maybe this is your current issues, I'm trying to get at where you're at now with your business and getting established, having a brand, you know, in the industry, even though, you know, you're not the big dog necessarily, but what are your current issues in growing the business? I mean, what are you facing, and I mean, what are you looking at right now in growing your business and brand?
We've always been self-funded with everything that we've done. And so we've always had to be a little bit creative on where you draw your capital from to do what you want to do. Sometimes you have the frustrations of, you see the potential and you see these things that you want to jump on and do, but you're a little bit limited by your own resources or your own cash flow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so we've always wanted to operate lean and nimble and flexible, which is, can be a positive thing, but sometimes it can be a little bit of a limitation. So it just forces us to be creative on, and really smart about, okay, we're going to go launch this new apparel line. We really thought through the 3 or 4 key pieces that are in it, and we know they're going to sell well, and we've had feedback from our customers and know these ones are going to go great. So then we can invest our capital and make it count. You know, mm-hmm. we don't have the flexibility to just try, 20 different things and hope a couple of them work. So
yeah, you don't want to be clearancing them for $8.99 somewhere, yeah, losing money on shirts or so, whatever it may be.
Exactly.
Well, this is so helpful. Maybe at this juncture too, I follow you on Instagram. I love seeing these such beautiful artistic surfboards and products that you put out. Some of you out there that may have surfed a little bit, this is not your blue foam board with a white stripe that you'd get at Costco. I mean, this is these surfboards are works of art. In fact, I've known people that they don't even take them out in the water. They just hang them on a wall because they are just gorgeous. So how do people find you? We said albumsurf.com, obviously. Is there any other social media?
There's a couple accounts. So at albumsurf on Instagram is our brand account. So if you want to see kind of what's going on with the brand in general, you can see all sorts of stuff there. And then my personal account is at Album Matt with 1 M, ALBUMATT. And that's more the behind the scenes and kind of the individual surfboards. And so you kind of get a little bit of both if you follow both accounts.
Well, yeah. And what I love about that brand is that as you guys out there start to follow Matt and his company, you're going to see his family. And it's just so fun and so cute to see his little kids out there on the surfboards, in the water, wearing these new wetsuit designs. I just love his family. And I think it's a really fun brand. It's like you said, Matt, it's not just the logo. It's that family lifestyle too. And mm-hmm. I think it's just so fun to see. But
yeah, well, thanks so much for coming on, Matt. I really appreciate it. And I just had one final question about does the size of a guy's surfboard have any indication of how good of a surfer he is?
Well, I don't know. The guys that surf the really big waves ride really big guns. And so, okay. I don't know.
Okay, that's good. And I don't want anybody out there to think that those surfing lessons are – something you can just sign up for. I've begged, you know, to get some tips and I've got them, you know, but you've got to pay the price. any of you have seen Chasing Mavericks, when I first went out with Matt, you know, he made me just paddle and paddle. I didn't even get to see a wave. He's like, he'd say, you see that island out there, you know, that you got to paddle out to that island, then you can come back. And
I got to pay your dues.
It was tough, but my upper chest really appreciated it. It paid off down the road. I thank you so much, Matt. Albumsurf.com. Our listeners, please get there, check it out. And we want to just give a shout out to all of our entrepreneurs trying to make it happen. And to hopefully there was a little tip here that will help you as well. So we'll see you next week at another episode of Refresh Your Wealth. And keep living the dream.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.